Are you a perfectionist? Do you feel like no matter what you do, it's not quite good enough? You have to change this, change that. You worry about it. You think about conversations that you had in your head. I should have said this, should have done this. Don't do things because it's not quite right, not quite right, not quite right. No matter what you do, you could always be changed. And then you're holding yourself back because it's not perfect. Well, if you are, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. That's what we're into today. How do Perfectionist Holics Anonymous Club. We're doing our best. So we're going to be talking about how to be honest, be ourselves, you know, allow ourselves to do the best we can with what we have and release ourselves from this prison of perfectionism. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Shireen. Are you a perfectionist recovering?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Well,
how about you?
I am a recovering perfectionist, and I have realized how harmful it is and how inhibiting it is and how dangerous it is recently. So I'm wanting to talk about it and help other people get out of it, as well as releasing myself from this invisible jail. Because when it comes to living our life, the only way to actually get good at anything or do anything in our life that we start to improve ourselves, whether it's our meditation practice or the work that we're doing or our health or anything, the only way to get good at something is by doing the best we can in the time we have and then getting feedback and then doing it again. You know, so if you think about learning any skill, whether it's meditation or any other, you know, playing the piano or doing a podcast or whatever it is, we have to do our best. It's not going to be very good. And then learn something, do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. And then we end up quite good at things and we can have a good time doing it. But perfectionism makes us think, well, I can't do it at all because it's not right yet. So it actually stops us from taking action that would allow us to improve, which would allow us to reach where we want to be. And so I've personally been stuck in perfectionist tendencies for far too long, and I've had enough, and I'm no longer willing to put up with it anymore. So
so you were talking about it being harmful. How is it harmful?
It's harmful because we can't do the thing we want to do with a sense of grace and ease if at the back of our head we're thinking it's not right, it's not right, it's not right, it's not right. Because there's two forces here. One is the force to move forward, and the other one is, yeah, but what about this, what about this, what about this? So this overthinking and worrying and stressing, which then it's like the gas is on and the brake is on. The gas is on and the brake is on. They're on at the same time. And that is just a very disturbing way to live, basically. And I personally am not willing to put up with it anymore because I just want to get on with my life. And I see many other people in the same situation. And it makes us neurotic, stressed, inhibited, trapped, and unable to just have a jolly good time being here in this world.
You were talking about it being dangerous. How is it dangerous?
It's dangerous because it's not good for our mental health and it's not good for our success in life because we're not going to do anything. We're not going to do things long enough and imperfectly enough to get feedback to move forward. So it actually means that if someone has a perfectionist tendency that's got the better of them, they're going to basically stay stuck where they are for years and years and years and years and years, or make extremely slow progress towards anything. You know, like when I started doing meditation, I remember sitting there, and no one told me actually how to do meditation, so that didn't help either. But I was just sitting there going, what am I supposed to do? You know, it's like, what am I supposed to do? And it wasn't good meditation. But I did manage to keep doing it anyway somehow. And as a result of that, I've improved and improved and improved. I remember the first time I did a public talk, I absolutely didn't want to do it. I tried to get out of it at the last minute and I wasn't allowed to. And
how old were
there.
You?
I was 18 or 19 or something like this. And you should teach meditation. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to. So I had all these excuses. So I sat there and my palms were sweating and my heart was beating and there's all these people sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, this, and I stumbled in my words and I didn't know what I was talking about. And, but halfway through, I kind of got into it and it was actually really fun. And then people seemed to like it by the end of the class and I was having a great time. but it really freaked me out.
There was born Brother Michael, meditator.
There it is, exactly. So it's so I've despite perfectionism, I've managed to overcome it anyway. But it's like when I look at myself, any amount of it.
What brought this on now? What has changed in your life now?
I think my friend Nick's death really snapped me out of a bunch of stuff because I was in touch with him and then he died. And I thought, hang on a minute. I could be dead. You know, I could leave this whole thing behind. And I'm not going to look back on it and say, oh, I'm so grateful that I was fiddling around with all these things in infinitely and not living my life. I'm really going to be annoyed with myself if I have lived an inhibited life, a life of being trapped. It's just not acceptable to me. It really isn't.
So one time recently you were talking about fear inhibiting your life. So you feel the other part of it is perfectionism is also keeping you in a cage.
Perfectionism, yeah, and fear, they're related. Mm-hmm. Fear is...
How so?
Well, fear is... I'm not sure which is first. They're kind of like evil twins. Perfectionism, fear, there's a triplet, and then procrastination as well. There's the third one. If I'm... Basically, in the psyche, there is this sense that if I'm afraid that I won't be liked, or it won't be very good, or it might not work out, and so there's all these fears stopping action happening. And then the way to deal with the fear is let me make everything perfect. Because if I make it perfect enough, then I'll be able to overcome the fear and all the reasons why I can't do something. The problem with perfectionism is that by doing that, we never do anything, really. We're just fiddling around with stuff and it never actually gets shared. And so the fear causes perfectionism. Perfectionism causes procrastination. And then procrastination means that there's no feedback because nothing ever gets shipped. Gets sent out, and so that's why it's a dangerous prison. And unless I have deadlines, I won't do anything. Like even this podcast, right? Like if we didn't have to publish one every week, I certainly wouldn't be here right now. I'd be doing something else, and you probably wouldn't be either.
No, I want to make a complaint about you to everyone. I want it to be 2 times a week, and you said no. You only want to do it once a week.
That's true, because I couldn't manage to do it twice a week. I've got too many other things I'm doing. But we could do, but I've actually thought of doing a daily podcast on audio, which I haven't been doing probably because of perfectionism. Or maybe it's, time. I have too many projects.
Okay, I want to say something here. Like, I'm looking at my own life, right? When you ask me, am I perfectionist? I'm more than perfectionist, I would say. I like a project and I'm very enthusiastic about it, right, in the initial phases. And then there comes a time when I'm like really dragging, really dragging. And I don't know if that's perfectionism or if the novelty just wore off. And it's not like I'm being a perfectionist, it's just like the novelty wore off and I don't want to do it. I do force myself to do it, but you know what I mean. I don't want to do it. Like it just becomes a drag.
Yeah, I find, I mean, that's been my problem all along.
So there must be four, you know, four. It's not just a triplet, right? There's four things in why things don't get shipped. Mm-hmm. One could be fear, one could be perfectionism, one could be procrastination, and one could be you just like something new every few days.
Yeah,
I don't know what we would call that.
I think that whenever we do something new, it's more fun, isn't it? And I am evidence of that because I'm always after the new fun thing, new fun project. But when there's something that there reaches a certain point where it's like getting it ready to be finished is the most tedious, difficult part. And but I think it is perfectionism as well, to some degree, because is it right? Is it right? Is it right? Like in your case right now.
It's not a case. Okay, working on my book, no. It's okay, there is a part of me like, is it right? Because I'm writing about something very new that I haven't ever written before. And not only is it right, but there was some experience I had and I'm trying to recreate that experience. And when I had the experience, it was so much fun and I really wanted to write about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, other things are there. Though I force myself to do it, it's not force myself to do it, I just discipline myself to do it. I discipline myself to do it, but I know the shine is gone.
Yeah, because it's when you have a powerful experience, then you're in that at that moment. And then later on, you might be remembering what it was like rather than being in it and trying to get it back, which is different. Yeah, so these are all connected things. I'm not sure that's the same issue as perfectionism, but perfectionism, but they're all connected, like fear. Like, I mean, the example that's the reason I think I started thinking about this is because I have on my computer about 2,000 emails in these folders, and it's a real mess, and there's a whole bunch of different versions of the same thing, and I need to set all of them up on a new system and start sending them out, and it's just driving me mad. It really is, because there's so many of them, and I'm like, which one to go first and which one to go to which list and this and that and this and that, and it's just like, oh my god, it's just
can you scrap them all?
Yeah,
start that wasn't fresh, or no?
Well, isn't that a great use of time and energy, just to chuck them all out, all this hours and hours and hours of work, and start again? Do you see what I mean? This is so this is the same issue you're having with finishing the job off, you know, like you've got all this stuff. And so the life has all these various versions of this situation.
2,000 emails is a lot, though.
Well, yeah, I can't do it all in one.
2,000 emails?
Something like that, yeah.
And they're not categorized? Okay, this
email. No, they are. No, it's just like when you start looking at it. I don't want to get into technical to avoid. Okay. Our listeners shouldn't have to put up with tedious nonsense like this. But the general theme is we're inspired to live our life and do something. Then tedious stuff and complicated things start getting in the way internally that. And when we try and do something and there is a solution to it, it could just be moved forward. But all this internal stuff is in the background. And it's connected to fear, procrastination, perfectionism, boredom, probably not wanting to put in the hard work. And then what if it doesn't work? What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? Fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of whatever it is. And that's why I like, what is the actual, there's a quote from the Gita, I don't remember which verse it is, but you have a right to work, but never to the fruits.
I think it's third or fourth chapter, yeah.
Such a great quote. So we have a right to take action, but we don't have a right to the outcomes. And perfectionism is trying to force the outcome by getting it perfect. But we can't guarantee the outcome. So, Shireen, what is the solution to this, since you don't seem to have this problem?
Right. Thank you for the blessing.
Thank goodness.
Did I say I didn't have the problem?
Yeah, you said you weren't sure you were a perfectionist. No, you didn't. You don't have it.
No. Okay, I have the problem of shiny new things. I like shiny new things. I don't know if that's exactly perfectionism. So that's what my thing was. I don't know. You know, lately, I'm just in a place where I don't care. I wrote a book recently. It's published now. It just published, Experiencing God. I really had such a good time writing it, like such beautiful experiences writing it. I don't care even if one other person reads it or doesn't read it. Yes, it's there, but it's just there. It's, you know, and I'm somehow going through different things in my inner landscape of trying to motivate myself to actually be in the digital space. And so I feel very detached from if people read it, don't read it, what happens? I feel very detached. I feel very detached from the outcome. I know that's only recent. It's not like I was born perfect, or I'm not saying that's perfectionism or not perfectionism or that's perfect. But recently, that's how I feel.
That's very liberating, you know, just to do things and not worry about it, because this is these are all complicated areas, all intermingling with each other. Perfectionism, worrying about the outcome. What about this? What about this?
So tell me, how do you, what are your steps for overcoming something like this? What's your first step? How did you overcome? I'm guessing you overcame some things, right? Because you're very productive. And yeah. So how did you overcome? What was your first step?
I think there's a few things that have helped. The first one is deadlines. I think that's probably the main thing. I don't know that many people who get things done before a deadline, like when they're at school, for example. I remember I went to art college and we had 3 months or something to do work on a project, right? And then you'd have to hand it in at the last day of time. You could hand it in earlier, but like it had to be handed in and put in this special big, massive, big plastic packet with all these artworks in it. And that had to be done on that day. It could be done earlier. And no one did anything for like two and a half months, pretty much. Everyone just didn't do anything, right? They just, like, nothing happened at all. And then the last 2 weeks, everyone goes, oh my God. And they start running around, oh my God, everyone's... So that the whole studio would have nobody in it for like the first month. Nobody was there, maybe one person, like nothing. And then everyone's in there fighting for all the equipment. And it was just chaos. It's because of a deadline, right? I'm not sure how many people do
anything
about a
deadline. You know, they say that, right? That 80% of the work gets done in the last 20% of the time.
100%, totally. So... So like if there's no deadline, nothing's going to happen. So I think that the deadline might be the most powerful thing to destroy perfectionism, because you haven't got a choice, you know. Like once that's there, just like, all right, fine. All right, I'll do it. No worries.
Okay. Being pressured. I know why I said I don't know. Now I know why I said I don't know. Because a lot of my life, I was an engineer and I had lots of deadlines and I had to meet the deadlines. I wasn't like an artist, right? I didn't come to this point in our lives where we are interacting as an artist. I came as an engineer, as a scientist, and you just had to get work done.
Yeah, on time.
Because there was all, yeah, on time. There were lots of deadlines. Otherwise, your funding wouldn't come.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I had to meet all my deadlines. There were deadlines and I had to meet them. Perfect, so no perfect, whatever it is, it had to go.
Yeah. So what would have happened if they weren't deadlines and they just said, you know, here's this thing to do, you can finish it when you feel ready? What would, do you think would have happened?
It wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. First, because my whole interest in the thing would be like, oh, yeah, I'll get it done. No, let me go do something else for a while, right?
I'll just do something else, or I'll come back to this later.
Yes, I'll come back to this later. That's what would have happened. But I think even if I was a perfectionist before, that was kind of scrubbed out of me working in an environment where I had all the time deadlines.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, realistically, that seems to be perhaps the main and number one thing. Just how you have to get things done on time, and then there's no choice. And it can't be perfect anyway, because someone who spends forever and ever and ever trying to figure stuff out, like one of the best examples of this is a guy called Mushroom, who's from the band Massive Attack, right? A lot of people know Massive Attack, you might not know them, right? They're like a trip-hop group in England. There used to be three of them, and then they broke up, and two of them now are Massive Attack, and this other guy, Mushroom, he does his own stuff, right? And he's been working on his album for 25 years, and I think it is still not finished. Because he's a perfectionist, right? I mean, I hope it's finished. I'm sure it's going to be great. But he might have ruined his... It might have been fine. Like, after a year, it was very great. I don't know whether... And it's just been going round and round and round and round and round. He might just get to the point now, 25 years later, and everyone's like, who is this guy anyway? And like, why? And so... Because he's got no deadline, right?
It's also a luxury, no? It's also a luxury, right? I had to work and I had to meet the deadline. There was no option. And so maybe he has money where it's okay if he doesn't produce anything, right?
Yeah.
So there is a amount of privilege that people have that they feel that they can live their life like that, which is nice actually, that you can live your life like that. I didn't have those choices.
Yeah, exactly. This is the curse and the blessing of having money and time, isn't it? Because you got all the time in the world to do whatever you want, time and money, and you don't have to do it, don't have to rush it. But the problem is, it might never happen at all. So deadline is critical to do it. Another thing that really helped me personally was this guy, Dan Sullivan, and he wrote this book ages ago called 80%, the 80% rule or something like this, right? And don't confuse this with 80-20 rule, because it's not the same thing, right? What he said essentially is that, let's say I'm starting a project over here and I want to get to 100% is up here, right, in my head. And the thing with perfectionism is that bar always keeps getting higher and higher and higher. So we might never reach it, and it might actually be impossible to reach it. But anyway, let's just say there's something around this big. 80%, if I get anything I'm doing up to 80% good enough, most people will think that is 100% done for as far as they're concerned, because it's published, right? They think that's great, like a song or a podcast or whatever. So 80% is normally perceived as 100% by other people. But getting that extra top 20% takes, like getting to like 80 to 85% takes the same amount of time it took from 0 to 80%. And then getting from 85 to like 88% is another 20. Do you know what I mean? So the amount of time it takes to get this extra bit at the top is sometimes like 10 times longer. Not just a few little bit longer. It's 10 times to get that little bit more perfect. And chances are it's never going to get finished, because each time you try and make it better, it gets harder. It's the law of diminishing returns. And so it's really, really, really hard. And people don't care. You know, like we could, for example, Shereen, we could polish all our podcasts indefinitely for years and years and years and years and years, but no one would get any of them, would they? You know, we'd be like, oh, let's re-record
that. And
no
one would care, really.
No one would care. No one would care anyway. Let's just re-record that again. Let's just stop this thing here. And just
I would just kill you if we did that.
Well, let's just stop it. I don't like how I said that last bit. Let's just go back and do it again. You're like,
I'll kill you.
Let's just get this
I'll
done.
Just kill you.
We need to go back and re-record the whole thing. I didn't like the beginning. Right. So this is what it is. So like what I personally have done in myself is like, I'm not perfect. I got problems of my own. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can in the time I have from my heart. And that's all I can do. From my heart, doing the best I can. I haven't got infinite amount of time because I've got loads of stuff to do. So here it is. And hopefully it helps somebody. And I'm going to learn from it. And then I'll do something else and something else and something else. And let's see what happens.
So that's number two. Number one was deadlines. Number two was the 80% rule. What's number three?
Well, number three is just do it imperfectly. You know, just to have an attitude of doing...
That's the 80% rule, no? Doing it perfectly.
No, 80% rule is just get it 80% of the way there. Do the best you can, right? But doing things imperfectly is an attitude. It's an attitude of let me be detached and just come from a good space.
Mm-hmm. So one is your attitude, one is the result.
Yeah, one is like, what is the standard? The standard is get it 80% of the way there. That's the standard, like this. Because in our head, perfectionism says, I can't finish this thing because it's not 150% finished. So the standard's so high that nothing ever gets done. So we set the standard at 80% done in most cases, and then we let go. So that makes it easier to know when it's actually finished. But then the attitude is, let me come from my heart as best I can and actually acknowledge publicly that I'm not perfect and I'm doing the best I can. Because I think that takes the pressure off. This idea that I'm trying to be perfect and I'm trying to project an image that I'm perfect is, first of all, it's a lie. Right? Because it's not true. It's just making stuff up. A lot of people are trying to be perfect, right? And internally, they're extremely disturbed because they know in their heart of hearts that it's not true anyway. And they're trying to put on this whole performance on social media or whatever it is, or in their life. And everyone kind of feels something's a bit off, and they're trying to like avoid anything that might give away that they might have any problems. And so it's like living in this strange fantasy reality that is exhausting, unsustainable, and I think leads to a lot of anxiety and mental health problems, and then can be very dangerous. Like I know two women, for example, who both were completely neurotic about purity-related things in terms of like their food and diet and cleanliness and all this stuff, and they both died really young. And what, you know, like out of suicide or some other illness related thing connected to that, you know, because so like trying to have everything perfect, 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 that the stress of it, I think, was very unhealthy.
Now, let's double click on this, Michael. It could be that they have mental issues and that is why they were like that.
That's what I mean, though. It is meant being... When we put ourselves in this position of wanting,
it's not like perfectionism made them suicidal. I think the mental issues made them perfectionists.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, the mental issue, it caused the perfectionism, and the perfectionism made them feel that everything wasn't ever good enough, and they put so much pressure on themselves that it was just too much to bear, you know, and I have a lot of compassion for that because this must be absolutely awful internally to be dealing with that level of stress. So
when we can... Absolutely, poor things.
Poor things. So I'm like, I heard about another person recently, same sort of situation. I was like, oh my God, such sweet people. They're so lovely. And like, so if we can say, I'm not perfect, doing the best I can, got problems of my own, then... then the guard is down, the mask is off, you know, and it's just like, well, here it is. I mean, this is what it is. And then I'm making progress. I'm going to keep moving forward. And so there's much more freedom and space and easiness and lightness and joy around life, because there isn't this constant stress and pressure, which I think is very unhealthy psychologically and emotionally and physically bad for us as well.
One thing I was thinking is this, when you sent me the notes for this podcast, you said something about honesty versus harshness.
Mm.
And I was thinking about that, is when is it that we have to be honest, and when does honesty become harshness, and how is that affecting perfectionism?
Well, I think honesty, honesty towards ourselves is really, really the key thing, not honesty towards anyone else, because it's not about anyone else. If someone says, what do you think about my performance? And you're like, I didn't think it was very good, right? That might be honest to think. But like, well, I thought it was pretty terrible, actually. I didn't like it at all. But you don't want to say that to someone, because that'll upset them. You have to sort of like ease them into it. But with ourselves, we can say, the honest truth would be, I did the best thing I could at the time. And if I could have done better, I would have done better, because we're doing the best we can in every moment. And perhaps next time we can improve it by doing it a little bit different, like this. That's honest, and that, but that isn't harsh. Harsh would be saying, you're a terrible person. You always screw up. You're never good enough. This isn't right.
Like you're talking to yourself, yeah. Like that.
Yeah,
the self-talk is like that.
Yeah, we don't want to say, you're never going to get anywhere. It's terrible. You're I'm always doing stuff, right? And I spend a lot of time saying to myself, good job, Michael, well done, you know, well done, well done. You know, yes, it could be improved. Yes, it can be like this, but good job for having a go. You know, well done for like trying.
Okay, so let's talk about something here. Let's say if I have problems shipping something and I keep telling myself, oh, good job. Am I deluding myself?
Well, what would you be saying good job about, though?
Just the fact that I got up and breathed today.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I only do that if I did something difficult that I didn't want to do. So it's like, I don't just wake up and
so
say,
so it's
good
not
job,
just like
alive.
Anything, right? Like no, we can't no, give no, license no. to ourselves just to do anything and think, oh, we're doing fine.
No, that's not what I meant at all. No, in case that wasn't clear. Like, say, for example, like I have this ridiculous email project, which will get done. It's going to get done. So if you're listening to this and you get loads of emails from me, that's the reason. It's because I'm setting this thing up. But anyway, so if I get a bunch of emails out of my massive database and I set them up, give them to someone to set up and send out, right? Good job, Brother Michael. Good job. Well done for like actually moving it forward. Any time I'm doing imperfect action towards something that I want, you know, let's say I'm doing meditation and I'm like, I don't have time for it right now. And I'm like, let me just stop for 5 minutes. Well, you know, blessings. So I think any time we do imperfect action in some small way or a big way, it's worth giving ourselves a little bit of love and blessings, because then that builds self-compassion and confidence, and that's actually how things improve, and that's how we break the habit of perfectionism.
One thing that has helped me a lot is in meditation, right? If I'm doing something and let's say I want peace, I'm meditating and I want peace, and I'm really beating myself up, I'm not peaceful or something is happening, I'm not doing something, right? I always imagine that there is a perfect self in the right here, and maybe one day in the future, 2 days in the future, there is a perfect self that is experiencing that thing. And I just have to go be there, even if it is for a few seconds. Like I visualize what could it be. Like, let's take the emails, right? There is a perfect self in the future that has finished your whole email project. And there is a Brother Michael, let's say in the next 10 days in the future, that has finished the email project. Just take time to go be there, even if it is for a few minutes. Just be there and feel that feeling of finishing it. Be there and also get messages from that perfect self. How did they figure it out? How did this future self figure out this thing? And it obviously figured it out because it's there in the future, finished the project. And so, and to bring that subliminally message. bring it back here so that I can finish it. So I always see something complete and I see myself completing it, and then I go there and I be there and I bring that back, you know, like the DNA of how that happened back here. It's not like a physical thing, or it's like something very subtle I'm bringing back, you know, some clarity, some courage, something that I had, that perfect self had, that I need. That's what I bring back.
It's a great method. Yeah. I spend quite a lot of time thinking about and focusing on my future self. And I think that's what inspires the current self to take action and break through out of things. Because when we do have that vision and that feeling, it sort of opens up a window, doesn't it? Opens up a whole bunch of new options in the now.
Yeah, because especially it's figured out, right? The future self has figured it out. Yeah. And so give me all the secrets of how you figured it out.
Exactly. It's already done. And it's like, this is something I've thought about for many, many years, actually, that we normally think that we're having visions in the present of the future, but it's more accurate, I feel, to say that we're actually having premonitions that have been sent back from the future to the present, which seem to us like a vision, but actually it's a premonition. And that's why we have a vision, because it's already done. Otherwise, why would we be thinking about certain things? And my future self doesn't have any of these strange perfectionist tendencies. So that's why my current self is getting out of them. What a joy. What a joy.
Anything else you want to share?
I think that is... Yeah, I think the last thing I'll mention is that ultimately the bigger issue here, the bigger picture, is that we are spiritual beings who are here on this planet for a short time to play our parts. And so when we realize this is all just a game and it's not so serious, then it's actually quite fun to do things imperfectly and just have a go at it, because we're here to enjoy the whole thing. It's not about, oh, I have to get all these things because that's the whole point of my life, is to achieve this thing in the future. The whole point of our life is to enjoy the journey. The whole point of our life is to be alive and to enjoy being alive. And that's really been coming out very strong for me, that awareness. I want to look back on my life from the future and say, I enjoyed being alive. I enjoyed the process. It's not that I was living for the future. I actually enjoyed being there in that moment, in a state of freedom, doing what I love and coming from a good space and enjoying the wonders of life. And whatever comes of it, it's going to be great. So that's my last thought on it. All right.
I liked it. I liked what you shared. Should we do a blessing?
Yes, have a blessing.
Pick a random page.
75.
Okay, 75. Politeness. Ooh. You allow politeness to guide you, sowing seeds of beauty everywhere you go. You honor the essence of all beings you encounter. You speak your truth with compassion and a pure heart, free from pretenses or any intent to hurt.
Yay. Well, thank you. And so I'd love to hear from everyone listening or watching this. Are you a perfectionist? Have you been a perfectionist? What have you done to get out of it? What did you enjoy? Did you learn anything? And what would your life be like if you just enjoyed being alive? Lots of love. Talk to you soon.